Okay, so we left off with this case. So what's the case?
Can you just let us know when one of them is?
All right. So let's do the first piece. So what does Gemara say? It says Ksav l'mafreya. That's what we're up to, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Ksav l'mafreya. Psula. All right. So what does that mean? Literally means the Kohen wrote it out of order, okay? And as Sean asked me this morning, he walked right into the trap, which is, what does out of order mean? Okay? So let me get up the, give me a second, let me get up the, so what does Rashi say? So Rashi says that, what did you do, right? L'mafreya, he says, Yarech v'lampil beten latzbos v'me'ayech, which is literally reversing the words of the pasuk. Okay? So like, you write the whole thing out of order. Now, out of order meaning, let's assume it's A to Z, you write it Z to A. Okay? Okay. Now that's Rashi's pshat. Okay?
So according to Rashi,
Let's assume according to you, Paskin the Shita is, I just gotta write the overt curses, right? But you still have to write it in order, right? You still have to write, let's say, the pasuk in order. Or let's say if it's two verses, write them in some order, right? But again, I mean, the Rashi's Havamina is very difficult to understand. That's the challenging part. I mean, the Turi Evan, how could you possibly have a Havamina that you could write it in any, I'm going to make it simple. You went, say, Chaim's way, which is only Z to A, or the way I would say it, which is any order possible. How is that a possible Havamina? And then, look, and what's a Turi Evan's Kashi on Rashi? It's that very point. Because basically, what's his essential point? He says, you can't tell me, right? He says, Vanitama. He says, that's crazy, right? Right, was it the fourth line down? He says, why would he go down this road? He says, right? Right? So what's he saying? He says, Misachik Ba'alma. He's saying, if you did the words out of order, right? It's gibberish. You wouldn't even call it craw. It's not able to be read. Okay, if I wrote a book, right, and let's say, whatever way you want to say it, let's say I wrote the book in a manner where it was supposed to be Sean walked to the grocery store, and I started with store and work backwards, and you started reading that in order, it makes no sense.
We don't care about reading.
So I'm saying, so the guys here are saying, yeah, we don't care about reading it. Okay, so obviously that's a window, okay, but let's just finish. So what is it?
Well, it would be more difficult to read if it was walk.
So what's the Turi Evan's shot? He says, no, l'mafreya means the hiktim apasa kasam uchar la kasal lefano. You mix up the order of the psukim, which again, as a havamina would seem to be a little more reasonable. I know, it's not a safer, I get it, I know. But I'm saying at the end of the day, on the surface, it can't be gibberish, right? So here's the challenge here, just to help you guys out. The challenge is that each one has their own havamina maskana. Rashi's havamina is that, but it's a different, it's going to be a different svara, because they have a different starting point. In other words, Rashi's havamina is that the mafreya means the words are out of order, okay? Or you wrote it from end to beginning, all right? And then his maskana is that, no, what? His maskana is that it has to be done, you can't do such a thing, okay? So he's focusing more on the idea of the words being out of order. Whereas the Turi Evan comes along and says, no, the words, of course the words have to be in order, so what's the mafreya mean? The havamina is that I wrote the psukim out of order. You're going to have no choice but to go down Shua's road. I don't think you have a choice, right? Because Shua said, it's not a safer, right? Meaning what? Meaning, now we got to be very careful. You can't just say it's not a safer at all, but because we know you have, from the Mishnah, you have to write it on cloth and ink.
So it's a safer that's not made for the point of reading.
There you go. Okay. So when God says, V'chasav es alos ha'ileh, all that means is, and you're replicating what's in the Torah, every word of what your chayit writes in there, right? The only thing is that since it's not meant to be read, right? A safer that's not meant to be read, why do I care about the order? Or is I just gotta reproduce the content. So I have the content here.
Right.
But what's the maskana? That's a good question. Rashi would never assume the possibility, doesn't seem that way, that I could write the letters out of order. Right. We can't write the letters out of order. So how do we refine this? So what David wants to say is, I think you're also gonna have to say, which is, you can't go as far as what Shua said. It's tempting to go down that road, to go as far as to say, well, since it's a sefer, it's not meant to be read, the order doesn't matter. But David's making a good point, because David's saying that, well, we can't go that far. Rather, what would we say?
Wait, why can't we go that far?
Because then I can mix up the letters. right? Because who cares? As long as it, right.
Well, because that's
but that's what David's basically saying. What David's saying is that, in other words, even though I'm not going to read the Sefer, right? That doesn't mean that when I write it, right? When I write the Sefer, right? That I don't have to write, right? I don't know if I would say the ideas, but certainly, in other words, like you were saying before, if it's out of order, right? I could still, if I wanted to, take the content and derive from it what's going on in the Sota. So I could still produce the reality.
Without the Torah.
Exactly. Right. If I didn't have the Torah, I could still piece together the story, right? It'd be very difficult, but I could. But if the letters are all mixed up, right, then it would be impossible for me to ever relate this back to the Sota. So, David, I think what you're saying is that there has to be, the reason why the words have to be there is because I have to be able to relate it in some way to the Maisa Sota, right? If I just have mixed up letters, there's nothing to speak of. There's no mechanism to relate one to the other, right? That's what you're saying, David, right? No, it's good, good, good. Okay, good, good. Okay. So what's his maskana? Maskana's pshita then. What's a maskana? In other words, like this. Even though it's a sefer not meant to be read, but this is the chiddush, it still has the identity of a sefer. See, what would you really think? You would think a sefer that's not meant to be read lacks any identity being a sefer anymore, right? But since this thing is a sefer, in other words, the Torah is telling you, yeah, the chasav is also ila bas sefer, right? Sefer means a book must go in the order that it's, in other words, the book must be like any other book. So it would make no sense for the book to contain information that can't be read, that's read out of order. In other words, it has to duplicate what's written in the Torah.
Because
now the Turi Evan, he's a little bit different because he says a psukim can be out of order. Okay, so what's his havamina? No. Again, you could see there's a difference between Rashi and the Torah Evan and how they conclude, because Rashi just says the order has to be whatever the order is in the Torah, right? But psukim are irrelevant. It wouldn't matter, in other words, what's a knock? It wouldn't matter if it was one pasuk or 10 psukim, because the order has to go from A to Z. So the structure of a pasuk, yeah, the structure of the pasuk is irrelevant. It just happens to be that, let's say by letter E, it ends the sentence, and letter F begins the next sentence, right? That's a secondary idea. But the Turi Evan, he's focusing on the order of the psukim, okay? I think the Turi Evan's Havamina, right, is not so far from Rashi's Maskana. Why? Because Rashi's Maskana is that the words have to go in the order that they are in the Torah. So you're duplicating what the Torah is, okay? And that's why it's safer. But let me ask you a question. Let's say psukim are out of order, okay? You wouldn't say that the safer I have in front of me is incoherent, right? If the psukim are out of order, there's no incoherence in the reading itself. It's just that what's lacking if the order psukim is not in the right order? What's lacking? What's the psul if the psukim are written in the wrong order in the Megillah? What would the problem be? Chaim in his brilliance, he didn't realize that his question is the answer, meaning like this, okay? In other words, if I write psukim out of order, each pasuk in and of itself is coherent, right? There's nothing incoherent in the pasuk. And let's say the order is supposed to be verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and I write a verse 3, 2, 1. So you won't say there's any incoherence in the verses, but the incoherence emerges, right, from the fact that now I'm not following the order of the process that Sota is being done in. So the incoherence wouldn't emerge from within the verses. It emerges because you're tying one verse to the other. Think of a recipe. Okay, imagine I gave you a recipe to make food. David, you're a cook. I gave you a recipe, right? And the recipe calls for following steps 1, 2, 3, and 4, right? If you go out of order, that doesn't mean you didn't understand the content of the ingredients themselves. It's just that the process is now defective. Okay? So I think the Maskara by Turi Evan is, it's not, I would say this, I'd say since the Megillah is supposed to replicate the process of Sota, okay? It's part of the Sota process itself. So the Megillah must outline that very process. So if the psukim are out of order, it's not duplicating the process. But note, that's why I'm saying it's a subtle difference. Note what they're concentrating on. Rashi's focusing on the textual order. He cares about the words being in order because that mimics the text. But then Troy Evans more interested in the process being appropriate, meaning the idea of it being out of order is a psul on how the process is being done. And that's why he insists that it be done in the right order of psukim. So there is a difference in the Havamina and Maskana between them. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Ksava, that was a funny one. Ksava kodam shetekaba le'ashvua. Okay, psula. Okay, so the Gemara has to tell you, let's say, now this is different than writing it at night. Okay? Okay. Let's say he wrote it before she accepted the Shvuah. Right? So what's the halacha? It's pasul. Why? Because it says, v'hishbia, v'achar kach v'kasav. Because the order in the Torah is, he makes her swear, right? She swears, and then after she swears, then he can go ahead and write the Megillah. So you would have thought that it doesn't matter when you write it, right? As long as you write it during the process of Sota, right? Because again, now we're dealing within the Yom. So it wouldn't matter. I'm not defining it. You would think you could write it at any point, Kamash Milan, that no, you have to wait for her to be, make the Shua. Why? Why? What's the Havi Maskana? In other words, very nice, okay? Okay. What they're saying is like this. What they're saying is that David and Yosef, okay? What they're saying is that the Havmin is going to say that, in other words, we know that the Megillah has to be written in Yom. We've established that already, which means it has to be written during the process of Sota. So who cares when it's written, right? In other words, once the process, and this is where I'm going to differ with you. Once the process of, well, once, say it again? Fine, but let's make it easy. In other words, it's true, but during the days when Sota takes place, right? So even if it's wrote, let's say it's written even before Sota starts. The point is that daytime is the time for Sota. So it wouldn't matter when it's written as long as at some point, as Avmin, right? Because it's just a component of the Sota process, okay? Fine, maybe it could be the first component, right? Okay, but I think what Dov and Yosef are saying is this. I think what you guys are saying is that ultimately, but you see, she does not become a Gavras HaSota until she takes upon herself the Shrua. Everything beforehand, the Shvuah is so critical in the Torah because it's true she's suspected of it, but she doesn't actually get roped into the point of no return until she takes upon herself the Shvuah. So the Shvuah is what actually transforms her now, or you can even argue actualizes that potential identity of being a Sota. You understand? Of course, because we suspect her of having inappropriate relations, we bring her to the Mikdash, etc. But the point is, halakhically speaking, as you guys were saying before, the Chiyuv Ksiva only emerges because she's a Sota. But she has to take the Shvuah upon herself to really say, I am now considering myself a Sota. You know what I mean? So that's the Chiddush in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying it must take place after she takes the Shvuah because it's only when her identity now is intrinsically tied to being Sota that the Ksiva's Megillah can emerge. So then the Gemara says, Ksava Igeris. Okay, so let's say let's say he wrote it like an Igeris. What does it mean to write it like an Igeris? Oh my God. Oh, okay. So the Gemara, Kasva Igeris Psula Basefer Amarachmana. So Rashi says Igeris below Sirtut. If you recall from Megillah, the same thing is used. Megillah requires Sirtut, but it says if it's a true Igeris, right, there's no straight lines. The guys who did Safra, so know this. You wouldn't have the straight horizontal line of Sirtut, okay? And because it says Ba Sefer, right, Amarachmana, Balacha Mosh Misinai Shesvarim Tzrichon Sirtut. And we know the Lacha is, if this thing is a Sefer, it therefore requires Sirtut. So what's the Havamina? Again, the Havamina is that it does not require Sirtut, right? Kamash Milan, it does. And again, like, why would, in other words, we've already established at this point this is a Sefer.
Rashi even says, like, it's literally,
I know. That a Sefer requires Sirtut.
Right.
Right. So this is, it says Ba Sefer. So what's the idea here? So David, I need my scheme. Let's put it a little differently, okay? In other words, the only reason why at this point in the Gemara you would ever think, okay, that as a Havamina, that it's not, in other words, again, it's not Sefer, it's because we still have this idea that this book is never going to be read. Okay. Again, it's the anti-book. Okay. So what David is saying is that since this thing is being used from, in other words, it's going to be mechika, it's going to be erased, right? So you would think that to demonstrate, and this is, I think it's a key point, to demonstrate how this is different than every other Sefer, because it's going to be erased, you would remove the component that would normally use for reading purposes, which is Sirtut. Okay. In other words, see, we have that by Megillus Esther also, right? There's certain times it's like Igeris, and certain times it's like a Sefer, right? Similar here. In other words, the Havmin is that, well, okay, fine, it's a Sefer. But maybe what you would say is that since the whole purpose of the Sefer is for it to be erased, so maybe the very feature, again, we want to demonstrate this isn't a regular Sefer, because it's going to be erased. So if we put in there notes, well, if we don't put in there sir to it, which means we're taking out a quality that lent itself to being read in a certain way, if we remove that quality, then I would know that this thing is not like any other sefer. Right? Kamash one, no. It's true it's unlike any other sefer, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to treat it like, halakhically speaking, every sefer. Even though there's no reason for sir to be in there. There's no reason for sir to be in there. Okay. I'll set it up for you, and then you guys can prepare this for tomorrow, and then I'll give you some the next Hanu Maskanas. So now the Gemara says, Kasva al Shnei Dapin. Okay, now this is a serious question. You wrote it on two Dapin, okay? So what does two Dapin mean? Okay, what does Rashi say two Dapin is? What does that mean? What's two Dapin a Sefer Torah? What does that mean? Two columns. Right, two columns. So rather than write the whole thing in one column, let's say I wrote two psukim here and two psukim here. Okay? Amudim, there you go. That's Rashi's way of learning. So Rashi says, if you wrote it on two dapin, which means two columns, psula.
Where does it say?
Hold on. Sefer, echad amrachmana. God said one sefer. Alright, so the Torah says only write on one sefer, and Rashi, which I would say on the surface is a very difficult shot, not to bias you, Rashi's saying, sefer means, right, one column. Can't write on two columns. But Tosos comes along and says no, which you guys can look into it tomorrow. But Tosos says that's not what it means. I'll just cut to the chase and make it easier for you. Tosos says it can't mean that. Rather, what does it mean? What? Two pieces of cloth, meaning I have a yiriyah here, right, and a yiriyah here. Okay? I couldn't write it on two separate pieces of cloth. So, for example, let's say I wrote on two pieces of cloth and sewed it together. That'd be puzzle. Okay? Now, both Havminas are very difficult. Rashi's Havmina is, I can't write it. I mean, see, this is difficult because who cares? See, this is a trickier issue than before. What does it matter if it's written in one column or two columns? Or one Uriah and two Uriah? Okay, fine. So if you want to tell me it's in two Uriahs on two pieces of cloth, it doesn't have the identity being one safer. You go down that road.